government indicator. National Food and Nutrition Security interventions need to be coordinated. 2017 and 18, four quarterly reports, review reports on national food and nutrition security interventions had to be coordinated. I think we have the word coordinated seems to suggest as calling that one and moving there. I think when we go to our plans on the ground, that means our capacity to be involved. This is a competence in the department. We actually lead and influence and come up with strategies and tactics to ensure that these things are done, and then we monitor them. We do the same 18-19 quarterly report, review reports on national food and nutrition security interventions, we coordinate, we monitor there. Number of graduates placed in agriculture, forest and fisheries for capacity development. We're pleased that the University of Pretoria has absorbed quite a lot of students to be trained in agriculture. So far, the baseline is 30 graduates, 255 graduates for capacity development. We are pleased with these numbers having the agreed them. National Police on extension and advisory services to be approved and implemented. As I said, this particular policy, this particular action, it is the most important as it is the first contact with contact knowledge with our rural communities. And to change the culture of understanding Imbene as something different than another disease, it takes long. So this extension service in rural communities is not what we would say in a community that has grown knowing. That's what I'm trying to say. So when we put it throughout, we are emphasizing the extent of its importance to those communities and the difficulty for those communities to absorb it initially. We do the same. We have then taken 2016-17, 20 extension support to be deployed. We then have to deploy to review that deployment to ensure those people have been sent to appropriate commodities. We do that throughout. Because you have got an extension officer who knows animal husbandry deployed to where there's maize. Suddenly the guy doesn't know that, and we say they don't. So the monitoring and appropriate redeployment of these people is very important. Comprehensive policy to support smallholder producers to be implemented. We have approved this. It is being supported by all the structures of government up to DG level. We are in that process and ensuring that cabinet at this stage is supposed to be approved by cabinet. Food security and climate reform, the program and economic participation, and including a dark budget. I am going on it because it seems to me, when we say we do not have funds, and somebody sees this money, suddenly the picture is skewed. So I will just get in with your permission, Honorable Chair, just to clear that, and perhaps mention some shifts that may have to occur. If we take, for example, food security, it's 1.3. The reality is that that 1.3, the majority of it is cut, and has been decided to go and has been allocated to regions already who have presented their business plan. The provinces have presented their business plan. So in reality, that's not 1.3. But it doesn't make us not responsible. Because I told the regions, the provinces, we are not going to approve that it is not aligned with the national target. So we're working together with them. Sector capacity development. We talk about training, ICT equipment on 227 million. Extension services, about 350. We are very happy with this. We are not saying it is content, but the nice thing about this budget, it talks to the areas we have emphasized for implementation. So there is alignment that we have been looking for, and in terms of the provinces in particular. Program 4, trade promotion and market access. Well, this is really to create an enabling environment for smallholder farmers and producers to access the market up to 2020, I'm sorry, 2019 to 2020, the emphasis is on care, South African care, to ensure that black farmers, smallholder farmers, are certified to sell their products to retailers in South Africa at a competitive level. And we're putting an emphasis at this stage. The graduates, the people, the farmers who are coming out of this are very few. And we're trying to analyze why. So the commercialization process is then beginning to identify that through this agro-processing grant that is going to be a target because they want to fight to move from DGI. It's going to be a big fight. It has started already. Because without that fund, I cannot do this. Number of agro-processing entrepreneurs, this is a commercialization on norms and standards. We have at this stage put some few numbers in, and we have asked the province to commit on the numbers we originally had and increase this number. So there may be a change here, because in total we're talking about 450 commercial black farmers trained. And they must export, they must import, we have to train them on sanitary, market access, market conditions, you call it. So there is an aggression there. Number of commodity-based cooperatives, we put 18 in 2016, 16 in 17, 18, 14 in 18, 19, 12 community-based cooperatives have been established, 1920. We depend on these. We depend on the skill these people have to hit big, big programs. If they're going to go and, like we said, with PIC, go and acquire a huge stake somewhere, that has to happen. We need to radically transform. So we are in that process. That's why you see these numbers. You may say they are small. To bring community cooperatives together with individuals with various types of divergence is not easy. Number of cooperatives supported with training, 144 in 2020. In 1920, with a baseline of 108. Agri-BEE enforcement regulation developed and implemented. Agri-BEE enforcement regulation developed. We have done the key and the fairness was that this Agri-BEE fund has been abused and used for different purposes and was suspended so that we understand whether it meets its original objective. Implementation of transformation sector codes, very important. And that is what we are discussing with various organizations on Agri-BEE. Report on the implementation of this sector code, especially the forest sector code, the undertakings that the government took. That has not been happening smoothly, but it's something that the forestry is beginning to work on. Agriculture, forest, and fisheries trade community next plan to be implemented. That's very important. Implement trade agreements and participate in trade negotiations is extremely important for infusing a commercial understanding to our farmers. 2016-17 report on strategic engagement of partners within South-South, North-South, and multilateral agencies. Report on strategic engagement of partners within Africa and African multilateral agencies for implementation of the joint project and action plan. We continue doing this, especially, as I said, given the fact that we are the chair of the SADC. We are going to the trade promotion budget and market access. It's not as big as it is with others, but the funds have been allocated appropriately. But most of these funds are dealing with training, goods and services, compensation of employees. Program 5, forestry and natural resource management. Number of hectares planted in temporary unplanted areas. 2016-17 is 1,725 hectares. 2017-2018, 1,725, all the way to 1920, doing the same, 1,725 hectares, so that we plant trees. Then recommissioning of Western Cape State Forest Plantation. But no inquiry there on them, right? That's all. We are intending to establish legal entities, facilitate replanting in those areas in the year 1819 and 1920. Agroforest strategy framework has to be implemented. We have approved the management. It has to go to ministry. Memorandum of understanding with proof at the site. Agroforestry strategy framework piloted for two sites. Agroforestry strategy framework implemented by 2019-2020. We have to monitor agricultural land reapplication in the country. I think effective. So 2017-18 we do annual performance monitoring report on agricultural land rehabilitation intervention. We continue doing that to ensure that we are closer to the efficacy that we want to see created in those lands. Number of hectares of state indigenous forest that is needed to be rehabilitated, 300 hectares of state indigenous forest in 2016-17, and 2017-18 we continue with 300 all the way to 1920. I just wanted to emphasize that indigenous forest is a definition of forest in South Africa, basically, our uniqueness. So it is important that we do not let them disappear. That's why we are rehabilitating them. Number of projects to support revitalization of irrigation schemes starting to be implemented. 16-81. We did one here. All the way to, and this is where the conversation between the Department of Rural Development and us is concerned, a big, big one, where we came up with something that you deal with land, we deal with land on land, we deal with off land. Part of that off land is this. Yet, the actual competence is that wanting to steal our people. So I'm not complaining about it. I'm just re-emphasizing that this afternoon maybe it's going to be stopped as we meet as a group, as I mentioned earlier. Climate change adaptation and mitigation plans for agriculture and forestry, we believe that they are significant. We are going to be implementing those changes, especially implement climate change plans through vulnerability mapping, especially for conventional farming systems. In 2018, with climate change adaptation and mitigation plan for agriculture, forest and fisheries, we approved because it is significant. We and then still going to go to our minister. Climate change mitigation and mitigation plan implementation guidelines, that's very significant for us. Climate smart agriculture. The strategy framework, we've approved that. Very important that we know how smart we do things. Tilling, for example, as opposed to reaping. 17-18, final draft climate smart agriculture framework to be developed. And the climate smart agriculture strategy framework and the CSA strategy framework implementation guidelines developed and approved. When we see it approved by ESCO, it's still going to go to the ministry. More important than that, there's no bigger authority there than the ministry. Implementation of the strategy framework monitor. The budget, we are going to ensure that the forestry budget shifts around to talk to the plans they have, particularly land care program. Indigenous forest, as we have just said, the rehabilitation program, the recommissioning of the forestry in the Western Cape, the building of proper and decent accommodation for workers on forestry. This we cannot overemphasize. And we are going to, when we talk about forest operations, there's 379. 379. there are these leases of category A through this capital trust. We are really, we are in the debate on the equity development. How did the Marensi, Bomondi, Bamatole, how did they come to this land for so many years, the most profitable part of our land? How was this conceived? We're dealing with that. So we put a budget to ensure that it's going to be better. Well, it's not beneficial to us. It's not beneficial to capital objectives. Somebody did it somewhere, maybe for different reasons than we know. I've got a colleague. I will take you through. I think I can go through this in a month.
Yes,
no. You are educated. That's fine. I'm familiar.
I
just bear in mind what the fisheries colleague, the colleague there, program six fisheries. Number of our culture catalyst project. That has been identified and listed under Operation Badiza. When Operation Badiza is looking for funds, this is one of the fund areas their funds are going to focus on. Five Operation Badiza projects for phase one have been supported. Four Operation Badiza projects for phase three also supported. All the way to 2019-2020. One may ask why, if Operation Badiza is not being budgeted this year, it's because of the need for these things to happen. And therefore, we know because of the presidential project, once we start asking for money and say these are the needs, this is their impact, we may get funds for that. Agriculture Act has been developed and implemented as the Operation Badiza, the bill has been approved 2016-17. Agriculture Development Bill was recommended by Cabinet Parliament, implemented in 1920. Number of agriculture research projects have been conducted. Two new research on new candidate species for agriculture has been conducted, and two new research on production systems for new candidate species for agriculture has been conducted. And continue doing that research all the way up to 1920. Small scale fisheries policy. That policy is old, and that policy is being implemented. Rights allocated, 2016-17, rights allocated to register small scale fisheries cooperatives. I think this particular is going to raise a lot of against the option that was happening outside. I think this is going to invite a lot of discussion, and we would like to provide answers to support to register small-scale fisheries cooperatives. Department doesn't want to exclude small-scale fisheries to the benefit of what the ocean offers that they live next to. Recovery plans for carotid fishing stock, specifically these two sectors, up the lone and west coast rock lobster. Those plans are important and they've been put in place. Research report to indicate a feedstock level that by May. I can go to 4.12. Number of testing and joint operations through the Operation Partner Initiative is 5 of Ocean Economy with partners. Yeah, because that DRBT, if I understand. 30 operations have occurred, compliance, 14 compliance, monitoring and surveillance, 8, fisheries protection vessels, 8. 39 operation compliance, 39 operation compliance was 18, monitoring and surveillance 11 on year 17-18, fisheries protection of vessels 10 equal to 10 in 17-18. So we are doing inspections that will ensure that the vessels are compliant to the law of protecting our vessels and our fishing, our fish stocks in the sea continue to occur. Without that, we continue having lots of theft and the ripping of what belongs to the sea by shrewd individuals. 2009 compliance and enforcement measures in the six priorities, which are hake, abalone, rock lobster, lionfish, pelagic, and squid implemented. 39 operations, 35 operations in 2018-19, 1920-35, with all these broken into these areas. programs this fishery, the number of investigations that have been conducted, 2016-17, 276, 208 investigations in 1718, 284 in 1920. Well, the fishery budget has not been the best of all. One would say it is a budget that is not shifting, showing anomalies, but the reality is that it is more to do the things they say they will do. The management and monitoring and surveillance is 86. My discussion is that that is not sufficient, but we'll talk to that at an appropriate time. Well, Chair, honourable members, I wouldn't like to take you to your time too much. I've already done that. I just want to thank you for listening to the presentation, and we will await what I consider a fruitful discussion after it. Thank you, honourable Chair.
Thank you very much. Did you, the fisheries, if there is anything that you want to add, don't present those things that DG already has presented.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think the only thing that we'll talk to is the question that was raised earlier today about the rock lobster. It's been listed on the FASI red list. So that's the only question that we'll deal with. Perhaps one could just spend a moment just to explain as to who is FASI. FASI is the South African Sustainable Seafood Institute that is under the wing of WWF. So what it do is they use information that we generate in the department to say this particular stock is at a certain level. And that is information is then used to educate consumers to say we encourage you to consume the fish that is on the green list. Maybe on the one on the orange list, we encourage you not to consume the fish. And then the one on the red list, we encourage you not to consume that particular one. But it does not necessarily mean that that particular species is critical in terms of its status. And this is the case when it comes to the West Coast rock lobster. So we want to mention that the West Coast rock lobster is not critical at the moment, but it's under pressure. In the past, coming now to the issue of the scientists, in terms of the information that how we use it to make sure that we manage the fisheries. The division of research generates the basic information on the status of the biological status of the resources. This information then gets transferred to our Marine Resources Management Division for further verification and also to take into consideration some of the socio-economic dynamics. They then generate a further recommendation to the delegated authority, in this case, who's the DDG, to then say, how do we then allocate the resource accordingly? So the issue that the information from the scientists is not used appropriately is not 100% correct. We have numerous examples of where fisheries were closed down based on scientific information. In this particular case, we had applied our mind and we believe that the THC that was allocated was appropriate. But then the SASI then used the information that we generated to list the species on a red list. But it's not critical. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Do you have anything to, Minister, anything? before we allow questions.
No, let us start in thank the presentation. But I want also to add on what Mr. Pelemane has said on the status of the wild caught rock lobster. That climatic changes also put pressure on the species, as well as she's seen the washout recently. It is caused by climatic changes more than overfishing. So you can't take that out when you look at the mutations.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. That was the presentation from department. We have APPs. That was tabled. So I just want members to, there are in some instances which I probably is a mistake, DG. There are certain areas where your presentation is not tally with the APPs. So we will take the APP as the legitimate document to deal with. So that there should not be a confusion. So I'm just saying to members, let's not ask why this one will take the APPs as the legitimate document in areas where there were changes that were resolved through the APPs, which is something that we need to deal with in the near future, that there should be quality assurance when the document go outside the offices, because we don't have to go back to APPs, and now that we are presenting, instead of focus there, now I had to say, but in the APPs, it's not like this. I had to go back to the APP. So in areas where there is two different information, the legitimate one is the APP, which has been tabled here, official. So I just wanted to do that, to indicate that. So I don't have to mention those issues. Honorable members, they have that. So let's engage with the report, honorable members. Honorable Sultana, honorable Kapa, honorable Spain, honorable
Vandale,
and honorable, and welcome Kosisa Kulu, and then honorable Tongwan. Shoot, honorable Sultana.
Thanks very much. In the interest of managing time, I'll just cut down some of my questions, also anticipating that there are some of the members will raise these issues.
Maybe let's start with 5-5. Don't go beyond 5.
Okay, fine.
Sure.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start with fisheries. Of all the subsectors of the department, this one seems to be the most challenging, if I may put it that way, from time to time. And my thinking during the lunch break, Chair, it's not exactly the first time that one is exposed to these problems, was whether perhaps the time hasn't come for the department to facilitate the establishment of a commission to go deep into the underlying causes of these endless problems. I can immediately think of one or two reasons, and the department might respond. The disadvantaged communities here are faced with a situation where they are landless. And given that situation, they have established a culture of fishing in order just to basically feed their families. We can't keep on having families that keep coming to Parliament to say we can't feed our families. And we can't keep on listening to straightforward APPs. That's why I applied my mind and began to wonder if the time hasn't come for the department to facilitate the establishment of a commission to delve deep into this. Obviously, we've got two competing, two interest groups that are competing for the same space. They are inward and as well as outward bound, threats to the whole operation. And that's why I thought perhaps we need to have a commission that would look into this. So that's my comment, on that perhaps the department might want to respond to that.
No, Honorable Sultan, I think where we should start, there was a commission of the, what's that, Harrison Commission, and then there was, and then there was the unnumbered study report, which department supposed to implement. It was supposed to have looked in those issues that have been raised in those reports and how the department are implementing those reports. So to start a new commission, there was a commission dealing with those things. I was just reminding you, Honorable Member. So maybe we should say, where is those reports? Where are they? Are they implemented and asked questions based on those issues that were raised in those reports?
Thank you, Chair. Possibilities that, Chair, I'll put my proposal in the wrong way. At the back of my mind, I have this feeling that, yes, I think there was a commission.
Mm.
But perhaps you've helped me. Let me say you've helped me by saying perhaps this is what should be done by this department. Find out why, what is the problem, about implementing. It's also possible that the commission did not do sufficient work to help alleviate or solve the problem. I cannot remember what was recommended. But something outside of your normal routine administration needs to be done to delve deep into this problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I'm addressing there. Yeah. But thanks very much for confirming what I had at the back of my mind. And looking at this APP, as much as Minister and Deputy Minister, we are aware that there is a trend to improve production means. I'm talking across the APP in terms of better ways of improving and enhancing the production of the department in various sectors, agriculture, forestry, as well as fisheries. What I want to know is, to what extent do you make use of indigenous knowledge? I'm asking this question because with the ever-rising costs of producing just about anything, take for instance maize. On Saturday I was addressing a group of people and I had to take the trouble of asking, following the DG, to find out if the traditional seed which you can repeat to plant is still available. And I was happy when he confirmed that it is still available. Because the seed that you cannot reuse, it keeps pushing the costs up when people, now I'm talking at the level of people who just want to produce for home consumption, let alone selling. And I belong to that stone age when we used to keep some wet crops, at the center of the roof inside until the next plowing season.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to see such practices being factored into this, because the whole thing becomes too modern for a nation that is still struggling just to feed the people. The whole process of food production becomes too modern, especially given the fact that we have got so many graduates that are turned out by agricultural colleges and the like, and who still cannot find employment. So that knowledge gets lost. Example, Honorable Minister, you would be aware that about 2 months ago, 500 graduates, agricultural graduates in the Eastern Cape, lined up for 5 posts. 500 of them. I'm not sure if these people came exclusively from the Eastern Cape, but that was quite a record in South Africa. And this raises a question which I want to put to the Department for consideration. Are we not perhaps overproducing graduates when we are unable to create employment either within the department, its entities, as well as on its projects? It was quite a pain to hear that 500 young folks lined up for 5 posts. We need to do something about that as a department. What are we doing there, education-wise, to support what the department is doing? On communication, page 27121, right at the bottom, this may be just a brief comment that you chose to make. Your communication seems to be outward bound. You're talking about the media. Now, one of these instruments that one would use to strengthen, you know, one's capacity as an institution would be to make sure that what the minister and the DG understand transcends to the lowest grade, right down to the sweeper. Do you have that kind of communication where everybody understands what the department is primarily about? I'm saying this because the notes here seems to be outward bound. And also it's standard practice to, as part of your plan, to have to list the anticipated risks. I didn't see a chapter, a page, or a column, even in the we're referring to the attendant risks. You know there are internal risks, there are external risks. How are we seem to be planning like we live in an ideal world, which is definitely not the case. What risks do you anticipate would come up and cripple, literally cripple the plan? For me, the plan chair, the plan that has been presented to us, chair, is not complete if we are not given a pager that tells us in each sector what the risks are anticipated and how will they be circumvented. That is my position on this APP, unless somewhere it is detailed. And if in this summary that is given to us, these are not reflected, then and perhaps they are reflected in some smart glossy book somewhere, which I see the officials are facing here, then perhaps we are not being given a complete picture. Some of us have got this knowledge and experience of project management. And so a plan that does not even refer, you know, where to when anticipated so that as Parliament doing our oversight, we can be able to say, the way in which you think you will circumvent this is not sufficient. You may not be able to anticipate, but in the absence thereof, we are being denied the opportunity to make comments on that element of the plan. So it is not complete as far as I'm concerned. The last, I think I've done my quota. I wanted to test with other people, by all means. So let me leave it at that. I'll get to the other page left. Thank you.
Honorable Clapper.
Thank you, Chair. I can also take the remaining from the Secretary. unfortunately, we won't be able to behave as if we did not get anything from the meeting with the presentation by TPM. We are bound to be influenced by it, and things were meant for that. Now, that's one from the report. If you go to page 19, this is where you find that the reporting is becoming a target. Not only there, I think in page 7, that also it worries me when the reporting becomes a target. Furthermore, if that's about the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to page 7, where the comprehensive policy support smaller producers is being implemented, you will find that in 18, it's approved by MINMEC. In 18-19, to cabinet. 19-20, that's going to be implemented. I think a lot of us will not be here for them. This is one thing. But now, furthermore, I would like to go to a situation where the department should remember that there were recommendations in 2016 specifically on these issues, like the one which was saying it was recommended that you should develop a strong business case to be presented to Treasury for the additional funding. In that case, highlighting the impact of the budget cuts. And the other one was on comprehensive one-stop shop funding facility for conditional grants, which was meant to minimize admin costs. And the last one for me is that the recommendation was the need for a clear plan for disaster financing. since it was clear that the climate change related this thing, disasters are increasing and are becoming prominent. Let me stop there, Chair, for now. But I suspect that if then there is no, because I see no indication of such in the presentation, maybe I could not identify it. In that case, it might be clear that department will have to make sure that they work, if they have to work on this document and work on this and make sure that this information is available.
Thank you very much. I think that one of reporting targets, it was raised by the Dr. Ngoman. I think they've noted it's there, so it's not something that is not correct. As you were saying, DG, when Dr. was reporting some of the things you said, that one is not correct, but that one, it was correct. So you must minus those ones that were not correct, and that one was correct. So we've seen it here. Yeah, another thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also have to apologize because I have to leave at 3 o'clock. Our program did not indicate that we're going to stay this afternoon, and unfortunately I have another appointment made later, so I'm a bit frustrated, Chair, that we are now being inconvenienced with the fact that we were told that we're going to finish at lunchtime. So, but I'll listen to the answers on the recordings and get it checked. Chairperson, yeah, I think the whole thing of budget is a massive problem. I've just looked, and I want to make an example. I've just looked at plant surveillance, and I know it's the same thing every year. It says the number of plant pest surveillance risk, something conducted, one plant disease risk, at the moment exotic fruit fly. But when we had the outbreak, we still have it, but when we discussed the outbreak of the
armyworms,
specifically asked questions about, you know, conducting traps and outreaches and what. There's a few other things, but I want to mention specifically the banana or something.
And the tomato, what?
And the tomato and the others. I get frantic calls from the people in KZN to say that we are going to lose our whole banana plantation in South Africa because of this specific BB something banana eating thing that's there. The department just doesn't have the money to go and assist. I'm now being informed that the industry is going to fly someone in from America to come and help us here because we just don't have the capacity. So, Chair, my concern is if we look at targets, and I will refer you to pages 18, 19, 20, where we talk about decreasing imports and increasing exports and creating jobs. And, you know, all these nice pages that we plan and envision, and it's great. We must have that. But when we get to the actual tasks, the jobs, and it's not the fault of the department, or maybe it is. So maybe it's because we don't go with a good enough plan to treasury or something. We are shooting ourselves in the foot. Our industry is going to go backwards because of the fact that the basic things that the department must do, we can't do. We need to do surveillance, we need to check for animal health, plant health, exports, things, these basic things to check. So I don't know if it's not time for us to have a meeting with Treasury and the people that are responsible for financing, because if we can't do those things, we will never get to a million jobs and putting the hectares on the plantation and, you know. I'm a bit frustrated, Chair. We are sitting here in and out year after year after year discussing these targets, doing these things. And the frustration is like we had the drought last year. I want to know from the department what happened to the original plans from COSP and Limalatima. That money was put forward to those farmers and was just taken away towards drought, which was necessary. But those poor farmers who thought they were going to get money for something, and then, you know, at the later half of last year, the money was taken away, the little bit that was left for the army work. So we put plans in place, but we, you know, there's just no progress. Actually, also, the same thing. Do we come up with these plans, or who come up with the plans, like the, what's it called, the things, the 40 per, one per district, agri-parks. It's really a great idea. I visited some of them. It will never work. It will not work. We are wasting money again. There's lovely big fences around and a guard gate, and I'm sure there's guards somewhere, you just can't see them, but I'm sure they'll be fine. And what's going to happen there, Jim? No, I don't know. I don't know if I want to ask something. I just want to know, how are we going to produce 450 commercial black farmers? Why don't we partner with a commodity organization who's in any case producing farmers, commercial black farmers, on a yearly basis with the BEE dumping fund that we want to take? I don't know. I don't have a question.
Honorable Kosi Tlebukulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just general, no specific to what the DGS has been presenting, but somehow linked to. Chairperson, time and again we are hearing the issue of our system in the implementation of cultivation of underground hectares in Kumen there, as well as the what do you call it, this new entrance into farming business. Chairperson, I think it has taken us for quite a long time now to hear that the department is committing itself in dealing with this. You know, in rural areas, we are all aware that there is quite a vast of land that is underutilized by the communities. As a result, now they are flocking into it for human settlement rather than making use of it in order to fight hunger, in order to deal with the food security. And if you are going to continuously be hearing of just the wishes of the department to do this without going straight into it, I think we won't win the war towards fighting hunger. My take on this would be if these two departments, which is rural development as well as agriculture, should go and work not in silos, because obviously the Department of Agriculture goes and deals with assisting the communities in one spot. You find that the government comes and does the same. I mean, make an example of Umsing, Singa Talk, where rural development has been there, well, agriculture too has been there. There are other areas which they should have gone to in order to assist our communities. When are we going to see that happening? Secondly, still on the same issue, but on the same issue. You know, in communal land now, people have started accepting the view of cooperatives. Through our speech on what is I'm seeing in KZS, through the request or instruction by the Ngozi Mathai, there was an encouragement on tribal leaders to sort of open up land of about 100 hectares per traditional community where cooperatives work on. The contribution by the Bank of Agriculture in assisting as well as rural development in those. If we say we are going to deal
with food security. We are going to assist the poorest of the poor who don't have, who no longer have a span of oxen and donkeys to till the land. When are we going to maybe see these two departments going in just to help those communities? Because otherwise, we will end up seeing the mushrooming of dam stories in rural areas where people are said to be the most needy, the poorest of the poor.
Chairperson,
this is what I want us to raise with regards to food security. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Thoman.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be on PDAM. PDAM seems not to be reflected on the current APP. And the committee was promised it will be finalized and tabled by the end of 2016-2017 financial year. What I wanted to find out regarding that is when can the committee expect it to be finalized and tabled? The second question will be regarding climate smart agriculture. Can the department ensure that producers and farmers are empowered for climate change adaptation and mitigation for each sector? And the third one will be a comment. With regard to the fact that Treasury did not find any issues on the current financial year. Constant monitoring and evaluation will assist the department to sustain the improvement in financial and service delivery performance through strengthening control measures and internal auditing and planning through working closely with the DPME. And thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Fandan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to also make a comment on the comments that was made on the West Coast rock lobster. You know, the comment that was made was a little disingenuous. I will tell you the history, and I was here at the previous portfolio committee in the previous term. About 5 years back, there was to downgrade the West Coast rock lobster because it was on an endangered list. Then there was an agreement with all the NGOs and everybody to sit together to get a stock recovery plan. That plan was agreed on by everybody, and that's why it was not downgraded. And then all of a sudden, last year, the DDG, how the stock, I must just explain it, the recovery plan works, everybody gave up about 5% of their what they take out to make the stock grow a little bigger, so that in the end they could get bigger ones in 10 years' time or 5 years' time. And then before the end of that time lapsed, that 5% was allocated to other people. And the allegation is that they were friendly with the DDG and the minister. And that is where the problem came. And that's what they deviated from the plan and the recovery plan. And so that's why we were downgraded to an orange, where people are said not to use it, because now the stock or the biomass is under threat again. So that's what's happening there. I mean, I was part of it. I know about it. So the other one is the you have identified aquaculture as one of your main sectors which you want to drive under Operation Pakisa. Now that's all good and well. Let me explain to you this. I've visited some of these aquaculture farms, and I've spoken to a lot of people around it. And what is happening here is that these aquaculture farms, or they call it wild ranching or mariculture, there's a lot of different types of them. They are seen as commercial fishermen. so they get a 15-year right. To put up an aquaculture farm takes about, when you want to go through all the authorizations and the red tape, it takes you about 5 years to get to a point where you can start producing something. Then you have to apply for the right. Then you have to start planting seeds or stock or spat or whatever you want to call it. That takes about another 5 to 7 years to grow. Now the 15 years are nearly run out. Now they can start harvesting it. But if there's a long lead time, they will have to plant again. But they don't plant again because they might not get their right back. Because these rights are reallocated to other people, and all of a sudden somebody wakes up and decides they're not allowed to have it anymore. So then, where is the money in it? We must reclassify aquaculture as farming. A farmer doesn't have to get permission to plant corn or millets or whatever, and all that red tape. It's not like it's on government ground. There's all these wastelands up the coast. It has been all delved up for diamonds. There's these diamond heaps that are there, and people have to still get an EIA on this wasteland. It doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, the land is already, a lack of a better word, I want to say effed up already, but the land is already nothing there. There's nothing. It's just sand. And they must get an EIA for it. All these regulations, I suggest that we put a moratorium on all these stringent regulations. We see where it will take us. For 10 years maybe, and then we start regulating them. I mean, if you want to grow an industry, because I believe that if the big guys, the deep sea trawlers or whatever, they all want to get into aqua farming, and they have a lot of money to do it, and they want to invest in it, but because it's so stringent, the tests, and it takes a long lead time, they don't get involved in it. So this is my take. We should put a moratorium on it. We let them create these 500-ton abalone farms and crayfish, and I've even seen gill backing dams, oysters. It's all on land, and it's up in Clains here, which is very beautiful the way that works. You must see it. It's a three-tier farm where the water runs down from the abalone, it goes down to the fish, and then through to the oysters. All on land, in a dam. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And those people are having a lot of trouble with the department because there's this one person, he comes past and he puts his finger in there and he says, oh, this water is hotter than the seawater, so now you are an environmental risk of heating up the sea. And so you must stop all your business here. And then they stop everything for 2 weeks and they have a lot of trouble with the department. And in the end, then they say, okay, here's a 500 rand fine, you can go on again. I mean, this is stupid. We shouldn't be so petty about all these things. We should grow the industry, see where it goes, and see how big it can grow, and then those people will not be so reliant on the sea. That would open up stocks for the communities to access. If they can do what they want to earn their big money, and they can do it on land, then the communities can do their fishing. I think that's how you grow a fish cake. You don't redistribute the fish cake. And like this, and I want to get to the next point, and that's why these people were standing outside this morning. And it's the nearshore commercial sector, which is about 95% black owned. They were standing outside. They were transformed in the previous round of allocation. There is about 825 of these people that are there, and they have been reduced to about 75. Now, all the allocation that was awarded to them has now been reserved for the small-scale fishing. So what you are in fact doing is, you are spreading poverty. You are redistributing poverty. Because these people just had enough to live from, which you are now taking away. Those people are now destitute. They have no other income than what they were doing. So they now go onto the poverty line. They have people reliant on their families. There's about 750 families now without an income, and then you distribute it to a community, or you reserve it for a community that has not yet registered, or that is not yet running, that can't use it, and this is what doesn't make sense to me. And this is, I think, why these people are so upset, is that, you know, they also have people working for them that are employed, and they have shareholders. And then The department always, we warned them in this committee and the previous one, that you are promising everybody these rights and the fee. But where is this fee going to come from? They said, don't worry, we won't take it away from anybody. We will create a market. We will build the fish cake, which never happened. So now they are stealing Peter to pay Paul, and it's just not working. You are spreading poverty just wider and thinner. And then I want to talk about the stringent policies that are in the department, but I've already spoken about it in the aquaculture center. When we spoke to the DDG last time she was here, she told us that there is this transformation guidelines that they have, that it must be 55% women, 55% youth, and 5% disabled people that must be in there. If it's 55 and 55 and another 5, it's 120%, so it doesn't make sense. I think, yeah, I was just counting it up, somewhere towards that the allocation is. And then it does not take into account that, you know, to fish, you must actually be able to fish. You must be a fisherman. I mean, this is something that comes through generations. You don't just go to college and you learn how to be a fisherman. It's in your blood. You don't get it taught. I mean, this is a vocation that has come for many years. I think it's one of the oldest ones. The Bible talks about it. Everybody previously talked about it. I only think there's one other vocation that is older than that, but I won't talk about that one. But the fishing comes a long time, and I mean, it's in your blood, and you can't just take it away from people. Our fishing harbors is another one of the problems that we need to solve. And then the poaching problem. You know what? Our DDG told us that about 800 tons of abalone is confiscated every year from the people. Now, if you think that 800 tons is confiscated, it must be about 10% of the total what they take out. I know the scientists have figures they make, and so they reckon that about 8,000 tons of palamon, of abalone, is stolen every year. Stolen or illegally taken. Now, that is a vast amount of abalone. And if we just use that, and we could support the communities with that, I mean, we clamp down on the one side, it becomes available, and we could sort the communities out. Now that, I think that would be also one of the avenues we could investigate. I think our failure to clamp down on the rampant poaching problem is a big issue. And I know why people don't want to take them down, because they feel those people have been let down on the coastline. They think, you know, this is our family, they fished all their life, now the department told us we can't take what God has given us in the sea, so we will take it ourselves. And I think this is where poaching comes in. And I think that with this allocation that has just passed, you have made this problem bigger. You are going to make this problem much bigger, because there are going to be more people that is going to be needing some money to survive, and they will start poaching. I can bet my bottom dollar on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fonda. There are a few things that one has to raise, but because they are documented, we'll hand it over to the department. Let me start by the fishery, because Honorable Fandal has talked about. Firstly, I think it should be very clear that the rights belongs to government. And when government, if you are given a right, when your term lapses, it has lapsed. So it will not be helpful for us as members to provoke the interest, because it's not your right, you have applied. you're given 15 years. Your 15 years has lapsed. If you are not given, it shouldn't be a crisis when things are going to other. I think as members, what we must be worried about is that as you are redistributing, because that's what we are intending to do, and we're saying we're supporting government to do, we must distribute to the those that will have capacity, will make sure that the industry thrives. Those that will make sure that the industry creates jobs. So, and it should, the renewal or the review of the rights should help us, or should help government to tighten their policies in terms of, for instance, Honorable Sultan, when we were in PE, you remember we've met with the group that says, I was given, you're not there,
no.
we're given one third, we're told that equity, there was equity thing, but after 2 years we're told that they were actually robbed to sell those equity back to the big company, and those people now they are unemployed, and they sell the equity that government gave them here in Eastern Cape, and there is a group in is it Gama? Can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember these areas properly. So those group two, there was a big company who was supposed to have, there was a scheme of food, what do you call it? Food corps.
Food corps, yes.
Yes. Yes. It has never been implemented, but the rights were given to those companies. And what we should say as members is to say government should tighten their policies, and we need transformation in the industry, no matter what, because those people is not their right. I think we should start there. There should be new entrances, but what is important, the department must tighten their policies to make sure that as we transform, allowing new entrances to come in, the economy of the country should not suffer. We should actually support those that you are bringing in as new entrances, such that they will not make the industry to collapse. I think that should be our engagement as honourable members. The second element on fishery, on the fight of corruption and poaching. You know, one of the things is which is a problem, and department should look at is you confiscate abalone, you sell it. Instead of putting that money to fight crime, you are using it some for something else. Let's put that money to increase our capacity to fight those that will commit crime in the sea. So unlike using the money to do other things. So we must take that, because it's a crime money. Let's use the money to fight crime and strengthen our monitoring and civilians in the sea. Because majority of those people who are poaching a lot of our resources are not even South Africans. Are those that are moving around with big vessels in the sea, they've got fridges inside, and inside the vessels, they can do their looting in the sea without us seeing them. we just see the big the fisheries who go into the sea getting 5 fish, and we're saying those people are not poaching, they want to eat. So the poachers is those that use big vessels and transport, make money out of the poaching. But those that are eating, and at some point when we interacted with fisheries, it was very clear that they were saying, because we were asking, when you talk of poaching, are you referring to these poor men who go to the sea and get 5 fish for him to go and eat in the evening? Or you are referring to the real person who goes into the sea and get the load of tons of fish and sell them? And fisheries, which maybe they have to confirm it again here, was that those that are taking 5 fish, they are not poaching. But it's recreational. It's allowed in the system. So I think that those are the things that we have to put it in the better context and use the money for abalone. And that's what we would request the department to look at. Use the money that you confiscate abalone and increase your capacity in fighting crime in the sea. If you have to buy new vessels, and those vessels that you confiscate, why don't you use them to empower those small fishery people? If you get a vessel from Russia, yes, change the number plates and other things and give it to our people and fish. Allow them to fish. So I'm just saying that we should look at those things. And I think those are the critical things with fisheries. And on the program 3, food security and agrarian reform. When we meet with you, with other departments, you present a particular statistic. When you come alone, you present a particular statistic. If you look at, fortunately, DDG Joe was here when we, and the Deramasos, when we were with the president, the numbers are not tally. So and the performance of this unit program, is it 2 or 3? It's worrisome because it must deal with the food insecure people. And let me tell you why I'm saying it's not impressive. It's the problem. We said go and create a comprehensive support framework for smallholder farmers and establish norms and standards for the support. You know what they're saying in the APP? They are going to take that comprehensive framework to cabinet 2017-18 and then implement 1920. So the question is, from now until 2020, what will be happening? Because the problem that we are having is that there is a problem in identifying the smallholders that we support and those that are coming as the new entrances, and the subsistence farming that we are saying it has been going down. So instead of appreciating the work and say this is what we are moving, but they are telling us in 2020, so we must wait for 2020 for you to have that policy. The second issue is the integrated support. the FFC come here and say, we think there is a need to consolidate your grant such that you are able to have impact in your grants. Department say yes, we're looking at integrated financial module, but when is it going to implement it? You can guess for yourself. Look at your APP. So the question is, in the meantime, what is it that is happening? Department, you support, we appreciate your support to communities about mechanization, giving people seats, but there is a problem of coordination and standard operation. They've brought here a proposed for policy for mechanization. Where's that policy? When is it going to finalize? You can guess for yourself. So, as we are saying, you are not get enough funding. How do we argue ourselves? Because things that we said must be done are not be done with the agency that they deserve. So why do we? How do we get that energy to go and make noise to Treasury for them to give you a lot of resources? And one of the things that we would, Minister, you should work on is to, probably through Cabinet, there must be a review on mandate. We cannot talk about issues, the hard issues and soft issues every day. Even next day we'll be talking about them, because it will be soft and hard to us, but you have rural development planting next season. What are you going to do? There should be a formal review of this mandate from the level of Cabinet, including agro-processing. If they're saying we should actually grow the agriculture through the value chain, the agro-processing must come in this department, and it should then be a mandate from Cabinet, so that you don't have to, it shouldn't be a battle of a minister or a deputy minister in any forum to say, hey, you're supposed to bring this thing to me. It's like it's theirs when it's a government program. I think that let's put the proposal to those to Cabinet for them to finalize those issues. I think let's go back and rework on the issues. There are a lot of them. I don't want to bore you with the lot of them, because we did thorough work, because it's our mid-year review. We want to have a way forward. We'll give you the documents so that you go and work on them, and before we finalize the report, which the officials will tell, you have to bring the document back to us, even if you don't present, but there must be evidence that would go with our report to Parliament, and we will then start engagement with National Department, with the Portfolio Committee, Spending Committee on finance and appropriation. So, but we needed ourselves to clean our house in all those issues that we have raised. And the last one is on the CADAP minister. You know, and issues of climate change. We have called department and FAO here. We're told that the strategy is a plan. It's a plan of it's been developed or has been developed. but what entails in those plans, it will be very critical for honorable members, as the Honorable Feltane has raised, that what are the issues that you are going to assist farmers in for them to mitigate the risk. So that plan must have those issues. We have met, we know that your team was here with FAO, and there was that promise, but we must see it, because and on CADA, there is a program of action. I'm not sure who to, Minister, what is it that you're going to report on, because your program does not even, your APP is not saying it's going to review on the Memorandum of Understanding of SADC and AU. Not talking about, APP is not talking about CADA. And the program of action, where's my program of action? The CADA. Here. Program of action, which as a country we're expecting to do in realizing Malaba Declaration and realizing that 10%, but there are specific indicators that we have to follow ourselves as department for us to be able to be in par with other African countries. So let's go back and work on these issues. Where we don't have money, together with yourselves, we'll then start engagement with Treasury, and we can't wait for 2020. That comprehensive support, it cannot wait for 2019. Please, we can't wait for that. 2020, we will not be here. So how do we talk about something that, no. So we cannot afford to wait for those. So whoever is working on these issues must actually make sure that next year is get implemented, at least until next year in the next plan, it will show that whether you have started implementation or, because now this year, I don't think you're going to do the census for the whole year. Census is something for 3 months to finish and then develop a system. So those are the issues that I just thought I must add on questions that members have asked. DG, you can respond, and Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. DG has left because he planned as like
DM.
DM. The DM has left because he planned as the time that was necessarily, given. I had to change my flight to 10:00 to 4:00, but I don't know how it will go. But I want to go back to respond on fisheries. I don't think I need to add more than to say we have had the instruction. But I dispute the views that are given that one of the reasons why the stocks levels have gone down is because of allocations. Yeah. One thing we need to agree is that it can never be right that after almost 23 years of democracy, only white companies are harvesting our fish species. We've got 5 companies in this country, 2 of which are subsidiaries of others. And one of the things we need to go to deeper is to understand, when you apply for a particular fish species, what else do you fish as a bycatch? In most places, there are no angels in the fishing industry. I'm sorry to say that. There are no angels at all. One of the things that is happening is that overfishing is one of the things that has rendered our situation to be where we are. It has not much to do with allocations. And I think the chairperson has hit it on the head to say nobody has a fishing right as a right. When you apply for a 20-year right, it comes to an end, and you must apply with anybody without expectations. Currently, we are being taken to court now and again. Only 2 black companies have been
given fishing rights over all the years, only two. Other fishing rights, we cannot speak of the periphery of fishing. We look at what is small scale, and we leave the economic or the commercial part of fishing, which is being exploited by other companies. I was shocked when I was in Maldives to understand that some of these countries, like France and others in Europe, claim more rights allocation than African countries, for they don't declare what they cash. And when you have to do allocations, you have to rely on historic allocations, and there's none in those countries. So I don't want, I think what is that companies in this country must begin to agree that one of the things we do is to accept that transformation must happen. It can happen at the level of board member. We know that our black people are more of what you would call a quota, paper quota, because they have to apply for quota. And because of the act of the amendment that was forced by companies in 1998 when the act was amended, they put a clause that said no foreign vessel may fish in South Africa, limiting their access to any black vessel, that when you apply an alcohol for a right, we give you the right, but access to a vessel is allocated to a particular white-owned company. And you must therefore give them your right to fish for you, and they give you an allocation. I can't hear that being said, that we need to transform the industry. And I agree with you in terms of how to make sure that we create sustainability of the natural resources. Yes, I agree. But again, to come and say that aquaculture is not transformed, I mean, we in terms of the Operation Pakisa on ocean economy, this department has done so well in creating up to 11 new aquaculture farms. They're small farms. They are really farms because the cost, therefore, and the participation of the industry is appreciated. But it cannot be at the expense of transformation. Not at all. Companies in this country believe, as Jefferson is saying, that they have got a right to all the fish in the ocean. The government right is only to, like, it's worse than a referee. You must allocate to Tom and Jack and Jill. Once you say, no, even Polani has a right to this because they qualify, you go to court. Why must it be governed by courts in an industry? And for instance, we're not talking about security of workers at sea. Last year, 12 workers died because the company didn't have the equipment to protect them. I don't hear that being said. So if we want to make this industry competitive, to make it to grow, the reason people are poaching is not because they wake up and think they are poaching. There are two reasons. One is the influx of foreign underground underground cartels who bring drugs in exchange for fish. But poverty plays a role. So if we want to change, like in PE, the first time black people got a 13-ton allocation was only recently. For the first of their life, companies will come and say, no, we are creating jobs, as if black people should be employed. They can't be free. They can't be. I mean, anybody will create jobs. You go to Namibia, they've changed their fishing industry. Our own companies are participating there, but when they come to South Africa, they want a new paradigm in which they fish and government protect. So, yes, Chairperson, we have listened. We have taken into account the report from Yemang Basati, because the previous report was more dealing with the problems there. Then we need to go beyond and say that. But again, I dispute the fact that there are no systems. We do have an appeal committee that has been appointed legally. That is sitting on the current appeals. We have cleaned the thing up to 2013. All the vessels I see doing their work. But the issue of how will communities benefit from this needs a change of heart from the big companies to embrace change and participate with government in doing that. And on the issue of the processes to deal with. I'm sure Mr. Belema will go broad. When we came up with the principle of the process of Operation Pagiba in the ocean economy, we have not only limited ourselves to all other practices like before, but what we've done, we've made the point that when a person applies for processes, the Department of Public Affairs will be working with us, and we have made the point that those processes are faster where there are handicaps, we discuss them together. Change we must. Of course, we must work within the law, but everybody must have change must come. I dispute that the only contributing factor to poaching is because the government is stringent. I mean, I would be happy if you can explain the man who say he was given an allocation on the basis of friendship. And I'm sure you would be a black person, because always dealing with black people, they are always danger that is because either they are close to whatever. You can't check what white companies belong to or whose friends are they. I think we need honorable members to say that as the department, yes, we need to fast track our work, but we need members to be objective as they play and explain and question what is happening. As we speak, only two black people have been given fishing quotas, and those quotas are kept in abeyance because we are facing a court case. And I don't think in our economy we can find that anywhere. Okay, we justify that it be the case. Chairperson, I'm not sure. I think I agree with you to say that there are areas of this report we will have to go back and work and come back and ensure that our APPs and budgets are as explained together with the report from the Department of DPME, and ensure that as we go forward we're able to not to plan for 2020 when we know we'll not be around. We plan for now because our people are waiting. But one other thing, I think the President, it is a State of the Nation address that he mentioned when dealing with agriculture, he said that we need to encourage the public sector participation together with the government so that we do a number of things without maybe the state spending money. Because if their land is available, what we need then is to guarantee that that company that has invested in that area will be given an assurance that his investment will not be in jeopardy. And we have seen some companies, if we look at the report of the Operation Pagiba, companies are willing to work with government as long as that can be guaranteed. And I'm sure, Chairperson, we don't think we have to argue with the report from either with the DPME or with the views expressed by honourable members. Ours is to come back and present. But I can assure you on fisheries, we are going to present a strategy that has to make sure that it must first deal with the amendment of the marine resources and unlock the opportunities, because as long as you can only fish because you are fishing with a vessel owned by a particular company, you can't partner with another country. We will keep black people out of fishing.
You want to follow
Thanks,
up? Or they're still responding.
The minister is one question is finished all that was in that pocket. Except to say, I so much appreciate the comments on inconsistencies and taking things that are easy and pushing them there, and when things that must be urgent. I think that urgency issue, we're just saying, guys, we need to wake up. But the issue of performance was not what we're doing. We're presenting plans. And then the annoyance was, why are we performing this way instead of that way? We have got information on performance. But I think even the report was accepted. But Yentelu, he was commenting on second draft. But that is between us and her. In front of this August body, we accepted, we're going to go together. And I'm sure we're going to be working together. She has accepted that. And I can't say more than what the minister is saying. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Bandel.
Yes, Chairperson, I didn't want to, when you were speaking, I think you're making a big mistake if you think that government owns the right. I think the people own the right and government is the custodian. I think that it belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to government to allocate to who he wants. Then there's another thing that you make, that if this right is allocated for 15 years, you keep to the law, you do everything right, then you must have a reasonable expectation to get that right allocated. If you abuse that right, I can understand that you can lose it. But I mean, you can't every 15 years reallocate all the rights to different people, because there are just so many fishermen. Where are you going to find all the fishermen if you're going to not allocate it to some of the fishermen again? I mean, these people fish for their life. This is their job. It's like a mining company. If you give a mining company a right to mine for 15 years, and they come back in another 15 years, they say there's enough to mine in the mine, and we want to mine, and they have kept to the rules, then obviously they must have an expectation to get that right allocated again. I mean, or are we going out and telling the people, look, the right is for 15 years, after 15 years you must mark another plan, you won't get the right again. Are we saying that? But then we must tell the people that, because they have the expectation that they're going to get the right again, because they did not abuse that right. This is what I think is a fundamental difference in what you are saying and what I'm saying. And if that is that, we're going to have big fights about it.
No, Honorable Fandal, it's like me. I'm the Member of Parliament for 5 years.
Yeah.
But I expect to come back because my still need to support my family. No, it's not different. I expect to come back here, but people might decide not to vote for me through my party. So I must accept that I was given opportunity to lead people for 5 years, full stop. So it's the same thing even with the rights. I agree wholeheartedly or totally with you when you say are the rights of the people, but the custodians are in the hands of the government, and the particular ministry will then be appointed to have a responsibility to allocate, which it means that even that individual who has a right at that particular moment does not have another a right to dominate and own that right forever. So it's supposed to be something that agree that there must be policy processes which guide how you allocate and minister must account for how he has distributed the rights. That's what the role of the minister. That's what I was trying to indicate, that we don't have to ourselves giving people the impression that if you are given something, therefore it will be yours forever. It's wrong. We should not even create that impression. So we should create an impression that this life belongs to our people, needs to be shared amongst ourselves, and not for one individual to dominate. Honorable Trapa and Honorable Sultan.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just come with the naive example. Where it's naive because in Zambia they say on the road you don't have the right of way until it is given to you. So if you think I've got the right of way or child again, it must be given to you before it becomes your right. And another thing is maybe for us to remember that the government or the law is meant to manage all their rights. Because if they are not managed, I have a right to hit anyone, I've got a right to go this way, someone's got the right this way. Rights are managed. That's why there's law. And therefore, I think the department is assigned with the task of allocating the rights. And there's no regret about this. And it should be done. When it is not done, there will be anarchy in the country. The only thing maybe we can be discussing how it is done, how fast it is done, how fast is it done, or who is getting offended when it is done, who
discuss the meeting, we discuss all things, then we resolve them. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sultan.
Thank you, Chair. It's just coincidental that Honorable Tapa spoke ahead of me. No problem. Chapter 2 of our Constitution gives us rights. The same chapter makes it obligatory for government to regulate those rights. So I don't have the Constitution, but that's the way it is. Even right to own land itself is regulated by government. That's why you'll find that even if you own 2 hectares of land, the government has got a right to run services through your land. That's why you can't build within so many meters from the edge of your property. So we can't dispute the fact that the government has a constitutional obligation, not just right, obligation to actually deliver, you know, on that. It's a question of, as Mr. Trapper correctly said, how it is done, how fair it is being done. I just thought I would clarify it, but go to the Constitution. That's
okay. No, I think it's clear. I think what need to happen is that as Minister is gone, that would encourage the department to make sure that the process needs to be transparent and people need to be engaged. And people must ask questions if they get the rights. Don't ask questions when your term ends. So, you know, and it's like us. I'm giving example with us as politicians. When I've been appointed the minister, I don't ask questions. I see myself fitting. But when I'm being reshuffled, I ask questions. Why didn't you ask questions from the beginning? So it should be the same way with those rights. If you are given rights, you don't understand, ask questions as you take the rights before you're going to start implementing. So that you don't have problems that you want to ask questions when the rights ended. Because there is nobody who's going to have your time, because the time it will be for those that are given rights, they must be working orientation and all those things. So I think that should be the understanding. And what we encourage department to do is to be transparent, engage your sector, because that's and one of the things that disadvantages the sector itself is for them resolving issues through the court. Because court takes final decision. Even if where they can discuss and engage with the department and find solutions, but because they go through court decides and mandate, court decision must be implemented. And it's becoming even constrained for department to deal with individuals in the sector, because they must go to court. You'll do certain things, you must go and answer in court. So I think there should be that, the department must start that engagement, establish the relationship with the sector, and be transparent, and tell people from the beginning, if you are given rights, you don't understand, ask questions, because every 15 years or 20 years, no question will be answered, because it will not be relevant to you at that time. That's how it works. Thank you very much, honorable members. That was we will continue on Tuesday with the entity.
Again, I only think of one reason why everybody goes to court. One reason is because the Department of Discipline, they feel agitated, they don't get the right answers, and so they don't do court because they have no other...
They must engage them.
They must engage them.
I agree with you on that.
I mean, that's why the party is important.